This week on the Indo Daily.
I actually don't believe, right, that priests had her out of any harm. He just, like, thought I knew. But that's how I found out Miriam Martina was dead.
How likely is it that Trump will be found guilty of paying hush money to former adult film star Stormy Daniels?
We're talking about involvement in serious drugs activity on both sides of the border, and as well as that, the procurement of weapons.
Find and follow us at all the usual spots, and over on the Irish Independent website.
On this week's Big Tech Show, when will cars safely drive themselves on our streets? And who in Ireland is providing the technology to help them do that? We talk to one of the country's biggest automotive autonomy entrepreneurs.
I have BMW Drive Assist in my own vehicle, and it is much, much safer because we are all prone to distraction, especially when we're on the motorway from Limerick to Dublin, for example. We've all been there where you actually forgot a whole section of the road. So I would say if you take it from a safety perspective, and it does allow you to kind of relax.
The Big Tech Show, available on all podcast platforms.
This is an Irish Independent podcast.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Troy and Hurling Show with Eddie Brennan and John Milan, along with myself, Michael Verney. There's loads to talk about after a busy weekend of league action. And I'll go straight to you, John, first. Davy Fitzgerald has been bemoaning the third quarter blues that the Daisha suffered yesterday. Like, just to fall that far behind in a game that they were very, very competitive in. Like, how do you put your finger on, like, what went wrong in that third quarter? It was the same against Clare, and it was the same against Offaly. And I'm sure it's very, very frustrating for him.
Yeah, look, you go back to 2023, it was something similar in an awful lot of the championship games last summer. It's hard to pinpoint where it seems to be going wrong. And it could be something small, like one or two of the lads remarked last night, that it could be something as small as, you know, holding the lads back for an extra minute or two in the dressing room. And we've seen that time and time again with Davies teams, where, you know, the opposition would take to the field first. And, you know, I even go back to the Clare game in the championship last year, where Waterford left Clare out in the field for nearly the bones of 3 or 4 minutes. And, you know, if you're in the dressing room, like, maybe for 15 minutes, but if you're adding another 2 or 3 minutes onto that, you know, it can have a knock-on effect. But most certainly he'll be eager to address it and try and get it right, because, you know, it seems to be a big, big problem for Waterford at the present moment of time. And it's a big problem in wider losing games. You know, you take yesterday. I mean, they were level at half time, and in the blink of an eye, they were 11 points down. And you know, that will be something that will concern him going forward. But look, I suppose from a Waterford point of view, what will be most pleasing for Davy is that how they were able to recover in that last quarter. And that was a big, big quarter, because, you know, if you were going into training, say, this Tuesday, after shipping a big, big defeat to Cork, you know, you're trying to pick lads up, albeit they were missing an awful lot of personnel, it would be quite difficult. But now they're going in, he's saying, well, look, lads, we kept going to the end, we kept fighting to the end, and they can take the positives out of the way they finished that game. And look, from a Cork point of view, I think Cork missed an opportunity yesterday to lay down a marker and sow a seed going into the first round of the championship. If that was Kilkenny or if that was Limerick, you know, 11 points might become 13, 14, 15 points. And I think they probably missed an opportunity to sow a seed of doubt in all of those Waterford players yesterday. But from a Waterford point of view, you know, it was great to see the way they finished the game, finished strong, kept going to the end. Some good performances from the likes of Paddy Levy, who I think is an extremely underrated player. You know, you'd see some of the other Ballygunner players would get all the plaudits, but, you know, he's probably similar to kind of nearly Brick Welch style, but he's willing to take a score. And we've seen with the likes of Barry Coughlin, you know, probably didn't get the credit he's deserved over the years. And I think, you know, he was a big, big plus for Waterford yesterday. You know, you look at some of the players that came on, brought an awful lot of energy, brought an awful lot of scores near the end, like Conor Sheehan. But big plus for me was the return of Jamie Barron. Jamie Barron looked refreshed. He looked full of energy. He looked back to the Jamie Barron of previous years. And I think that's going to be a big, big plus for Waterford. But yeah, look, I think, you know, Davey will be quite pleased, you know, considering the personnel that they still are missing. And I think it's set up for Waterford nicely now. They have a nice fixture now against Wexford. It's a winner takes all, you know, nearly, you know, in regards to who's going to take that seventh place for Division 1A status next year. And if they beat Wexford, then they go into the last game against Kilkenny, you know, with the possibility of trying to win that game and trying to get to a National League semi-final. So, yeah, I think, look, he'll be concerned about that third quarter, but there's an awful lot of positives to be taken out of yesterday. And I think slowly they're building something, you know, they're slowly building something. But from a car point of view, I'd be scratching my head. I just don't know where they are right now, Cork. It's hard to know. They got the win, but if you're Pat Ryan, if you're the Cork management, you would be slightly concerned of where they are right now.
Eddie, just a quick one on Waterford and the third quarter blues. Like, as a former inter-county manager and obviously part of that great Kilkenny team, was there anything like? Is there anything you'd be thinking in your head? How do you stop that from, you know, a little bad patch or a little bad 5 minutes turned into a bad 10 minutes, turned into the losing of the game? Are there any little bits of triggers or anything you can do to maybe stem the blood loss or make it maybe not as bad as it could be?
Yeah, I would even say, if just one example was, I thought that Cork team, the great Cork team, 04, 05, 06, particularly the 06 season, I saw just a little pattern with them was that I thought they almost absorbed everything opposition threw at them. And then after 15 minutes of the second half, now I know I'm going outside the period we're referring to here, they used to just kind of accelerate on. And it was like a collective. It was like a concerted thing among the team that they kind of knew. And they obviously had some kind of a trigger that they would kind of almost drain you, if you like. And is it like Waterford yesterday? The reserves they had to go into to eat back that lead. And then, you know, because they left it get too big, it was too big of a mountain to climb. And I think we've seen that with a few teams that, you know, you can only get that power play maybe going for so much of a period of time. But going back to the question, yeah, is it something coming out of halftime? Is it something that, hey, if we hemorrhage the first 3-4 scores, and again, we talk about Limerick, aren't they good at that kind of in-game management? So it's maybe a thing on the pitch, or it's a little cue from the sideline, say, right, and then get something going. You know, whether it's as 2 or 3 your leaders getting around the pitch, or do you say, right, let's drop a man back for a little while and just consolidate or hold what we have and say, right, no way, we're not letting them score. Because what you don't want now in with teams is let them get in a flow, let them get 6, 7, 8 points racked up and something to stem that tide, whether it's somebody goes down, whether there's an intervention of some sort. But, you know, if surely to God, you know, if someone as clued in as Davey is in that regard, he must have some kind of a little trick up his sleeve, because he is, I think that would be something that he would class himself as being strong at. And again, I refer to maybe last year's match against Limerick up in Thurles. They were able to stop and interfere with the match a little, in a good sense. And I'm not saying in a negative thing, but they were able to kind of control the game through those little interventions or stop starts. And they have to find a way. And like, surely, I mean, it's a frustration for Davey, but God's, you know, that's something that you have to go back and fix on the training ground and say, right, lads, this is what we do during that period. But obviously then, like, they're leaving themselves too big of a mountain, like they did yesterday. I would, just John said it, I'd echo that. That has to be a concern for Cork. I know it's the league and you don't really get ultimately judged too heavily on the league, but a worrying trend is that, like you say, you know, if you have ambitions of going places and you do get a match like that, you have to be able to close it out. You have to be able to block the opposition from eating back in. You work too hard to build up a lead of 6, 7, 8 points if you can in a championship match. That's ultimately the goal here. And you say, we have to be able to stop that when that starts to happen. And again, like I said, Limerick are the market leaders in that regard.
But ultimately for Waterford, I think they've really got a home in, particularly in their next game against Wexford, that third quarter.
Yeah.
And you know, if they can really focus and home in on it and really going after that third quarter against Wexford, you know, psychologically, it would be massive for Waterford going forward. And then it's realistically, then you just take it into the next game. It's a follow on. Then you take it into the next game against Kilkenny, and you take it into the championship. But from a Waterford point of view, you know, I think they'll be quite pleased with the way yesterday went. And no, I think, what's that?
I don't know.
I can see
the positives. I can see what he's trying to do, but I suppose the question is, with the way the league format has gone, and I know you have to look at the bigger picture, and it's like, yeah, Davey's first year last year back with these lads, he had to find players, and he's doing that this year. But you're looking at kind of the guys without and saying, right, I think with the way the format is and the way you have to be hitting the ground, like, if you don't start shaping up nicely, as in your team, your overall structure, and your players come back in, but just little habits is what you want to eradicate during the league, because you don't have games to get to fix that right. And there's only so much you can do maybe in a training sense. So I suppose, like, it needs to be eradicated fairly quick. But I'd also, kind of the question I would say about Waterford at the moment, and I can see what he's doing, he's trying to get new lads in, Paddy Levy, the example, some other lads. I think he needs to be now starting to polish up what he's looking at as his starting crew, and injuries do play the role. But if you were looking at him now, and maybe that's part of the plan, he's showing one hand and he's going to deliver another hand. But I'd like to see a bit of shape. I'm not sure about, okay, what do Waterford look like? What are they going to arrive in the championship looking like in terms of the team itself? Could you pick out that team? At the moment, it's not really clear. And that's all,
would,
I just think.
Would you be concerned then, Eddie?
A tiny bit. I think the league, unfortunately, at the moment, is not really conducive. Yeah, you're trying to balance it between finding lads and blending it and building your team a little bit. And a lot of the managers are doing that. Liam Cahill blooded a few lads there Saturday as well. Like, so. But yeah, time is of a premium now. And I think just with a view to having your team nice and cohesive and confident playing together, like, is Desi injured at the moment or what? You know, you'd be saying...
But to be fair to the chap, to Davey, his hands are tied, you know, considering the personnel that he's down. I mean, even an enormous amount of injuries. So, I mean, he's the hand that he's...
I'm coming to, John, is I don't know what way he is with injuries, I suppose. So in that regard, yeah, if there's injuries there, that obviously has an impact. So I suppose I just wasn't sure about that. But ideally, if you're coming into, like, you need those guys on the pitch, you need to have them now for a nice block of training, because, what is it, the 21st of April, is it?
Yeah.
You know, it's coming quick. It's coming. It's 8 weeks away. It's eight. Is it less than 8 weeks? You know, it's in around 8 weeks, 9 weeks. Jesus, that's not a big period of time either.
Well, you can see what he's going to do. Like, you're going to Sean O'Brien's going to be on the goal. I'm presuming, you know, Mark Fitzgerald will be in the full back line. You're thinking then Prunty, you've who's out injured. You've Errol Daly to come back in. You've Tadhg De Burka to come back in. You've Caelan Lyons was a big plus yesterday. He's going to go with the sweeper, whether we like it or not. He's going to go to sweeper. He's going to compact that middle third, as we've seen time and time again. I've no problem with that. Once he plays two inside, and then your two inside, as your two inside, more than likely then will be Desi Hodgson and Patrick Sherrod. For me, Fagan was missing yesterday. I'd like to see Fagan go back up into the forwards. I think we still need a target man, a fella that'll go up and take the pressure off. You know, go up and feel the ball. I think we're missing that. He's going to play five up top. He's going to compact the middle third. You're probably more than likely now, with Jamie Barron coming on yesterday, Paddy Levy's putting his hand up. That's the likelihood is going to be your midfield, Paddy Levy and Jamie Barron. And I think that the pieces of the jigsaw will fall into place. And I think they will fall into place in the next two games. Maybe not the Wexford game, but most certainly come the Kilkenny game on the 16th of March. You'll slowly get a good indication of where Waterford are at and what the likelihood of their 15 is going to be.
That Kilkenny match is the big one. Like, you need to see something really solid there. Like,
One place, lads, where we're in, like, in no uncertain terms of where the jigsaw pieces go is Limerick. Like, I think there was 9 starters from the All-Ireland. I think 8, actually. No, 9, yeah, because David Reedy cried off and Tom Morrissey came in. They put up a massive score against Dublin the other night, Eddie. Like, new faces come in. I think that 5 out of 6 forwards were new faces or lads kind of getting a go. And that machine is purring along fairly nicely, even though they haven't really played, you know, a really competitive match yet. But they're tipping away. It seems to be tipping away nicely. And if you see the lads in the stand, I think the anyone in the chasing pack would be fairly worried that the lads are still to come in.
Yeah, it is. And you'd have to say, look, they're in a good place. They have, you know, the Championship League structure. They have it well planned out, well thought out. They know where they're at. They can afford that luxury, which is probably, if you're being honest, it's an ideal scenario for a manager. Play of your All-Ireland winning team, they're getting a bit of game time, get them out and other lads in and blend your few newbies in with them. And some of those newbies now are starting to become familiar faces in terms of the bench. And like, what are they ultimately playing for? They're ultimately playing for a position in the 26, because like that Limerick team is fairly settled. I don't see any radical surgery that's going to be performed on that team over the last few years. You see the injury here or there impacts it, and they have good lads to come in on any given day, one or two. So I don't know, but it's worrying, because you're saying there's Keane Lynch sitting in the stand, there's Hannon sitting in the stands. Do you know, it's like you're kind of, and what is Hannon? Like, I thought myself, are they finding the guy to replace Hannon down the line? I'm not writing off Hannon in any way, shape or form. But I'm just saying, is Willie Donoghue going to be the natural, or is it going to be Cathal O'Neill? Is it going to be David Reedy? Like, they have, I suppose, that absolute flexibility in how certain lads can play all around that area. So they look to be in good health. They look to be in a strong commanding position. Sean Finn, another lad sitting above, ready to go. Like, so it's hard to see it. But yeah, look, you just, they're the benchmark and they're what everyone else is aiming for. So you're trying to make up that ground. But John Kiely is in a lovely position to be able to, as I said, a manager's dream, 8, 9 of your established guys. And you can whip them, you know, you can keep them ticking too. Like, you can keep them wondering too, because they won't want to be, none of them guys want to be sitting in the stand. They want to be playing, because they know that, you know, the Championship is looming large. There's a place in history there. It's in the background. I know they won't talk about it much. Maybe they will. But anyone that's in that Limerick panel now, they're afraid their life, they'll miss a beat.
John, of the new faces, Donoghue O'Donoghue was brilliant again. He had a goal inside about 20 seconds. I think he ended up with 2-1. Fergal O'Connor is a player I'm really impressed with, a cornerback. Lovely ball player. Real kind of, he's able to mix the flash with the kind of miserable streak that you need as a cornerback as well. But one kind of old face that we're well used to, but he's absolutely hopping off the ground already, is Garrod Hegarty. Like, he, at no stage last year, John, did I think he was getting the ball and really going away from lads. I just thought he was labouring a small bit, but he looks like a man on a mission. Like, he was getting the ball. He just had his eyes on goal every time he got the ball.
Yeah, but like, you don't know where he was at this stage last year, you know, in regards pre-season training. You know, they came back later last year, so effectively, you know, he might have been at in a different place in contrast to other players. But look, I think what's really allowed Limerick a bit of freedom the first couple of games is the fact that, you know, you have to take into consideration that they've played Westmeath, they've played Antrim, they've played Dublin. So effectively, they could nearly time their training schedule around that. You know, they could probably maybe go a little bit harder in training, which it's probably allowed Kiely to you know, explore a bit more about his panel, give these younger fellas an opportunity, mix it in with the likes of your Hegartys, your Will O'Donoghues, as Eddie touched on then. It allows them then to play 9 or 10 of his starting panel. But I think the real gauge for Limerick will be in the next 2 games against Galway, Tipperary. But, you know, as I touched on, in regards to the way the fixtures have fallen for Limerick, for the league, it's been perfect. Now they find themselves, now they win one of the last 2 games, they're going to be in a National League semi-final, and that will give them a fantastic opportunity of pushing on and winning another trophy.
Eddie, from a Dublin perspective...
Just quickly on the Hegarty thing, right? I think sometimes what you see with players like him, he's on the go solid there since 18, since they made that breakthrough. Sometimes, and he's a good... when you look at him, he was Hurler of the Year, he's performing on the biggest of days. So you become a target. So sometimes it's maybe a readjustment or a recalibration for him. He might be just after changing, maybe looking at his fitness program a little bit. And now he's re-energized because he did have, when the high standards that we all measure him off of and the influence he can have, last year was probably arguably his quieter, and he's still there come the shake-up. So maybe it's just a recalibration for him. It could be just something fresh. And now he's chomping at the bit again. He's going hard again. And you could have another massive season out of him. that's the luxury of riches have.
But you're 100% right, Eddie. It could be a small thing as small as, adjusting his gym program in regards, not doing as much heavy weights. We've seen it even with Keen Lynch over the course of, I think it was last year or the previous year, where you felt, Jesus, he's had to go on a little bit too big. So I even seen it there with when Dan won the Hurler of the Year in 2007, and Dan had even tell you himself in 08, he probably went a bit overboard then on the weights, and he probably, for such a big man, he probably slowed up and lost that kind of yard of pace, and Dan would tell himself then that he eased back on the weights, and that could be something where Hegarty has probably said to himself, well, look, I'm going to ease back on the weights, I'm not going to do as heavy weights as I've done in previous years.
Eddie, just a Dublin quick word on, yeah, just a quick word on Dublin. Like, I know they have a lot of injuries, and Owen O'Donnell is out. Donald Burke was back, which is great. Chris Crummy was back, but his first game since 2022 as well. But like, they got it back competitive at times in the first half, but there were stages in the game where they were just unable to compete. And they conceded 330 at the end of the day, which is a colossal score. It's Micheál Donoghue's second year, but I kind of have the feel, I still don't know where they are, and I still think they're a bit off. I probably expected them to make a couple of strides up the ladder, but it kind of doesn't really look like that's happened yet.
Yeah, you'd just be a little bit concerned for them going into the championship, like that they are, to be fair, they're going through a little bit of a transition period, and you see, the likes of Crummy coming back in after a season away, and he's, there's still no one kind of really taking his position on him or whatever. And if you're looking at, and Donoghue has tried a lot of young lads, he has gone with a lot of guys, but you're not seeing, I suppose I'm not really seeing, you see a defined way of playing with teams or what they're really trying to do. It's probably still a bit lacking in these Dublin lads. I suppose really what they're trying to do and how they're going to target or try to get scores off opposition. And yeah, I suppose injuries play its part, but I don't know. You just, it's hard to measure them really, because there's not a consistency about them. And especially, I suppose, look, I'm seeing is, I haven't seen Micheál Donoghue's fingerprints really on this team. That what's changed with them? What has he brought to the table? Because usually Dublin play that kind of compact defence. It used to be Sean Moore anchoring there in the middle. And, they had different guys. You had your Keenies and your Liam Rushes and your go-tos, Danny Sutcliffe's as well. And no, Danny's not gone. But they probably haven't had an injection of real quality into that team to replace those guys. Those guys were, they were go-to men for him. They were lads that he could, lump the ball down on top of, and they could be trusted to win their own ball. So to be fair to him, look, there probably is a transition. There probably is new guys coming in, and they're going to need a little bit of time. But you definitely say, okay, they're going to probably still fancy their chances to go toe-to-toe, maybe get the third spot in Leinster is really what they're playing for.
I did say a couple of weeks ago that they might have a tendency to struggle in the early stages of this league, and we mightn't see the best of Dublin until the championship, until they have everyone back on the field. Now, look, it was a big plus for him to get the likes of Sutcliffe. Chris Crummy is a big one for him to get him back playing. Donald Burke. I mean, there's three massive players, but it's going to take time to get them a bit of match practice, get them back up to speed. And to get Owen O'Donnell back on the field, Ronan Hayes as well, you throw in Darryl Pearson.
Yeah.
I think they won't be too bad, lads. I think when they have their full 15, they'll be a match for any of the top boys in Leinster. And look, we said it in, I think it was the last pod we done, we touched on it. I mean, I think they were level going into the last 5, 7, 8 minutes of that game. They had a couple of opportunities to get a goal or two. I think Nicky Quaid pulled off a save. And what do Limerick do, lads? I think they were 2 points up. What did he do? Hegarty, instead of putting the ball over the bar, gets the head up. Great crossfield pass to
Tom Morrissey.
Tom Morrissey sticks the ball in the back of the net. And instead of going in 2 or 3 points down, they're now 6 or 7 points down, and they're going in dejected, deflated, and they're saying, well, look, how do we pick ourselves up? And then you touched on it then again, that 5 minutes, 5-minute, 10-minute spell after half time, 6, 7 points then is just stretched out to 10 or 11 points, and they're chasing their tail then, you know.
John, we'll just get a brief comment on it. It was obviously a big talking point. Kyle Hayes was starting his first game of the year for Limerick. He's obviously awaiting sentencing next month. John Kyle said he never hesitated in picking him. What were your own thoughts on that, just briefly, and him playing his first game of the year, given the circumstances?
Ah, look, it's a tricky one. And look, we've got to be mindful, you know, of you know what's playing out. It's a tricky one for Kylie. But look, I think Kylie, you know, I think Limerick, we've seen time and time again, they're a tight-knit bunch. They're nearly like a family. And I've no doubt that Kylie would have thought about it, probably would have spoken to Kyle Hayes about it. And I'd say he probably felt that it was probably the right thing to do to play him. Probably the right thing to do for the group as a whole, as the collective as a whole. But again, as I touched on, it's an extremely difficult position that both John Kiley and Kyle Hayes find themselves in at the present moment of time.
Yeah, lads, I don't know if you saw much of it. I was down in Wexford Park yesterday, finished a draw. It was like a throwback of a game, 113 to 16 points. And it definitely ain't the sunny southeast after yesterday, boys. I'm still only warming up a day later. It was absolutely Baltic. But from a Wexford point of view, Lee Chin went off after 26 minutes, but Keith Rossler wouldn't commit to what muscle it was. He just said it was a muscle injury, even when he was asked if it was a hamstring. It was kind of shades of the Irish rugby team and Joe Schmidt back in the day. But Eddie, how important is it for Wexford even? I know they had the breeze in the second half, but to get a result, Richard Talisman off the pitch for 45 minutes, like there was like a collective groan in Wexford Park when he went off, because you know how big of a player he is. And the likes of Seamus Casey, raw enough kind of lads on the inter-county scene, like very, very important for them at this stage to be getting results without their main man.
It is, and Sherlock, I think it's almost become an annual thing now. You know, what injury does Chin pick up? Because he seems to be, for a guy that's, you know, I heard Biffo describe, now, geez, he's an incredible athlete, and Jesus, he talks out an impressive man if that's what you're gauging your county hurlers on. And they are very superbly conditioned nowadays. But this has been kind of the problem for Wexford and Chin, is he is their go-to man no matter what you say. But, you know, to be able to allow himself to get a full season, you know, under his belt, and to qualify that, what I'm trying to say is that he's missing too much blocks of the year to be arrived to championship then in real good health. Do you know the way you want to be flying fit? You know,
you need to have minutes under your belt. You need to have minutes under your belt. Yeah,
you have to be just and getting through matches, even psychologically going, okay, the body is good if you are injured. And some lads are, look, it's the nature of things. Some people pick up injuries, some people don't. And you just kind of say it yourself from the collective point of view. And for Rossi, that's frustrating because he's trying to gel and shape up a team that he wants to arrive into championship. And Chin is central to that, no more than Rory O'Connor, no more than Conor Mack. But just to touch on one of the guys there, and I think he's a guy that has maybe gone under the radar quite a bit. He was put in as a sub goalie there for a while. But I like Casey. I think he's a nice player. I think John maybe might have mentioned this a few weeks on the pod. I'd let him take the freeze, let, you know, Chin do his thing from play, Rory O'Connor, get him back in there. But and I think I watched him. I was out in, I know Callan in the Walsh Cup, it mightn't be the most glamorous tie, but he played that one man kind of up front for a good bit in the second half against the Winds. And he played it really smart. The boys knew to put the ball into the corner. He was able to make those diagonal runs. you know, winning out free when he didn't need to. So I think Casey and a few others like that, like they're finding that. And the point, what was the most impressive thing for Rossi? What was the big takeaway for him? That without Chin on the pitch, without Rory on the pitch and others, you know, he was able to grind out that result. So for the young guys and for the team that finished that match, Rossi will be thrilled with that, because Clare were flying high. They were, you know, flying high in that group. Full points bar that, like, and have a strong panel, or a panel coming into the Munster Championship with real ambitions of winning a Munster title. And that's what will have pleased Keith Roster, that they came out with a fighting spirit. They didn't die down. But to close down my bit of a submission, geez, Mixer, I hear you on Wexford Park. It's one place, when you go to Wexford Park, the one place you don't want to be is on the line. Because if they do go looking for you, you're numb. You're absolutely numb. And unless you have a sleeping bag and a water bottle, do you know that time when you play a match sometimes? It's usually Walsh Cups. I remember one day out in, like, Wexford Park is cold, but another day out in Rathdowney years ago, we were playing Laois. And you're trying to make yourself small on the sideline, that please don't see me, please don't make eye contact, because you know you're nowhere near warmed up or ready enough to go in there and make an impact. And I suppose Wexford is a bit like that. Can you imagine, like, 2 or 3 minutes to go and you need to get in there, and the lad's absolutely on fire, like the blood is pumping through them, and then you're going in and you get this slow motion belt on the hand and you're going, ah, you're really fit to cry. Like, it's just this time of year, league hurling can be a bit like that, and no better place than Wexford Park to absolutely make you numb with the cold. It's up there with was it Salt Hill, we said a few weeks ago.
Yeah, without it, like, I've never, like, I don't know how lads are specialists at coming into games, particularly games like that, coming in with 15 or 20 minutes to go when you've been sitting in the stand. And, like, I'm sure, John, you've had times where the odd time in the spring where you were kept in reserve, where you're literally saying, please do not bring me on. Please don't see me. I don't want to play 15 or 20 minutes today.
And in the GA as well, sorry, you don't see, do you know the big sleeping bag jackets that the rugby boys have? Like, they never caught on the GAA, so you're left with an old scrawny old skinny tracksuit or whatever. Are you coming in there on that? About, you played most of the time. You were never on the line.
Oh, well, yeah, look, I suppose. but look, it's most certainly is. I'd echo that. But they're great people down there, though. Absolutely fantastic people down there. They're so passionate, their supporters. They really get behind their team. And even yesterday, you know, they got a couple of decisions near the end where Tomás Welsh Tyler was under a bit of pressure, but they're nearly like the crowd under. They're nearly like a 16 man. But I just got just touching on Seamus Casey. He didn't have crack in the penalty, you know. And I think Eddie is right. I would persist with Casey on the freeze. One lad who I thought was very, very good, and I think he's going to be a big player for him, was Conor Hearn. Midfield, yeah. I really, really like him. And lads, you got to take into consideration as well. Say I went down there last year and they absolutely tore Wexford asunder, you know, and it was probably an experimental Wexford team last year. And look, probably the easiest thing for Wexford yesterday when Chin went off was to kind of say, oh, Jesus, you know, we won't bother rolling up the sleeves. But when Chin went off, they rolled up the sleeves and they got stuck in him. Possibly should have won the game. And when you think of the personnel that they're missing, Rory O'Connor, Liam Ryan, D. O'Keefe, Connor Mack, Lee Chin, he's finding out he's building a bit of panel depth there. And, you know, I really like what Rossler is doing at the moment. I've said it in the previous pods that I think what he's doing has to be admired.
It's mad. I don't know if it's ever happened that a team has started with three draws.
Before.
It's bizarre. They're unbeaten. They won the Walsh Cup and they're unbeaten. And I kind of said to him, Keith, yeah, you're still unbeaten. And he's just kind of laughing. Like, it's mad to think, like, you're on 3 points. They're still, if they picked up a win or two, they'd be in a really good position. But to get the result yesterday, minus what they were down, is very, very important. Just a brief word on Clare, Eddie. Lots of new faces getting chances. The likes of Darragh Lone, Robin Mouncey was probably quiet yesterday, but had been good up until that point. Brian Lone has a fair idea of, I'd say, what his first 15 are going to be, but it's the cavalry, isn't it? It's having the cavalry ready to come in for the. It could be 5 minutes against Limerick in a Munster final, or the last 10 minutes against Tipperary in a Munster round robin. But it's about having those lads ready, and he'd be happy enough too. They're unbeaten after three games, played two games on the road, beat Cork at home, beat Waterford on the road and got a draw on the road yesterday. He's learning plenty about what he has.
Yeah, and look, one thing you don't see too often, and I saw it in the first two matches, Lohan smiling. You know, he's happy probably with where he's at because he's that type of real driven fella. Like I'd say he's relentless in what he's looking for off them players. It's he wants to mold them into that spirit that he played with. Like he was just that never went back from anything. And you go back to that massive All-Ireland finally, I suppose, had played with 25 minutes with a hamstring injury and still clearing ball. That's what he wants from his players because they do have the hurling. But more than ever now, he has a real good squad there now. Like, I mean, dare I say it, you could come along and like, okay, Ryan Taylor is the big injury that he needs to get back, TK as well. But I'd be more than happy if you're sitting where he's sitting now. He has fleshed out that squad. Shane O'Donnell still, you know, to come in there as well. As you said, going on the road is where you really learn the character of your players in the National League. You really, a young guy learns an awful lot by going to places, you know, in dirty, not really the nice, most appealing, conducive hurling conditions.
And can he do it on a wet Tuesday night in Stoke, Eddie? That's what Wexford Park was yesterday.
That's exactly it. And like you have guys there then, look, lads with strong Fitzgibbon campaigns. But if you have lads that are going to go into the trenches in days like that, and again, I can only relate it from my own experiences, and Brian Cody puts huge value on going to, say, Ennis on a dirty, rotten, wet day and rolling up the sleeves when you'd be looking out going, oh, Jesus, you'd love to have an old tight hamstring today maybe and not have to play in that. They're not the appealing conditions, but that is ultimately where you learn your character. And that's a reference point then. You get a significant win. It's a reference point going into the championship. So all in all, I think Clare in a good place. And I think he's been able to play different lads. Like even down against Waterford there, like able to give lads a bit of time, give them a good run out in a match and probably not be worried looking over their shoulder that they're going to be taken off knowing that they're going to get that time. And then obviously the concern for him is how, you know, what way Tony Kelly rolls back up and what way then, you know, keeping Conlon and these lads nice and fresh, you know, Peter Duggan as well, still just, you know, a good, strong lad to have there. So, I think he'll be happy with where they're at and they're in a good place going into the championship. And obviously then they want to get, you know, one more result, get into that league final. Would Brian Lohan take a league title? I think he would.
Dave is a sure, lads. How, like, yeah. for me, I think he's the player of the league so far. He was unbelievable again yesterday. 5 points from play. I mean, when he's just running at you, he's just, you know, he's something similar to Kyle Hayes or...
If you don't stop him at Source Mull, you're goose. Oh. If he gets that head up of steam, you're done because you will not stop him once he gets moving.
Oh, man. I mean, again yesterday, he scored 5 points from play and he's really, really standing up and becoming a real, real leader for Clare, like, you know, and, you know, every week there's different guys stepping up, you know, you Cottle Malone the previous week down in Waterford. I mean, they're after coming across a goalkeeper. I mean, whether he'll start or he could be cover, he was very, very good yesterday, this Keane Broderick. Keane Galvin, yeah?
Yeah, wing back, yeah, from Clare Castle.
Wing back.
Yeah.
Very, very impressive. Really like the look of him. And look, they're bringing energy off the bench. They brought Rogers off the bench yesterday. Shane Meehan, it's looking like that's possibly going to be his role come the championship, where they're going to spring him with maybe 20, 25 minutes to go. Brings energy, brings legs, well able to take a score. But yeah, I'd echo what Eddie said. I think Clare are in a really, really good place right now.
Just one word, you mentioned Keane Broderick there. He pulled off one of the best saves I've seen in a long, long time. Seamus Casey gave, Jack O'Connor played a lovely diagonal ball. Casey didn't take the ball to hand, played a reverse hand pass, put Dunbar through on goal, and he was only about 7 or 8 yards out. He bet the ball into the ground, and Broderick somehow got a flick save. It was a brilliant save. Now, if he kept it away from him, it probably would have ended up in the net, but a brilliant, brilliant save from the keeper. But Eddie, I know you were in Nolan Park yesterday. Derek Lynn couldn't put his finger on the first half no-show. There was a lot of sharp play that broke down. Very, very frustrating, I'd imagine, from a Kilkenny point of view, but a very good first half from Offaly as well.
Yeah, look, to be fair, you have to start with giving awfully massive credit. Jesus, I was just, the shape, the way they set up on the pitch, the way they were able to vacate. So one stage, you know, I looked at, and you could see, Jesus, he's looking at the 10 and 13 flank was just completely empty. They had, you know, drawn the Kilkenny defence across, and you said you could see the goalie waiting for someone to run. And the runs, in fairness, look, Kilkenny figured it out at half time, and they were able to, I think they pushed right up on. Now, there was a significant breeze in Kilkenny yesterday, the opposite way. Usually it's going the other way, but it was coming from the O'Loughlin's end, the country end, up towards the city end. And once this year, a few puckouts like actually hung in the air. It was that strong. And I think Darren Brennan put over a free from just outside his own 21. Like, so that was significant. But awfully, like I said, the timing of the runs, you know, geez, I was massively impressed. Dan Ravenhill, geez, he's a big unit, from a guy who was, you know, minor a couple of years ago, getting around the pitch, athletic. Overall, I was impressed with them, their physical conditioning. Ben Keneally, lads, as good a defender as out there at the moment, I think. I know it's only the league, and I know, you know, he had Liam Blanchfield come back. Like, he snuffed him out yesterday. And yeah, I felt for Derek at halftime, because Kilkenny just could not figure out Offaly. Offaly could have been more. They're probably lucky. I think I remember marking the programme, and this, geez, was it 25? Was it? Hold on, just pull it up here now, boys. I may as well have me a bit of homework here. After 20 minutes, it was 10-3. So Kilkenny had 3 points scored in 20 minutes, and then it was 11-3 after 24 minutes. So little small things, like, and Kilkenny's wides, like, they did a couple of terrible wides in the first half. So they just, whatever it was, they were slow out of traps, but that's credit to Offaly. But in the second half, then, like, there was just Kilkenny took it over. They really pressed up. They pressed right up at one stage. And again, Offaly were able to create a huge pocket of space in front of Screeny. And look, while he was quiet enough yesterday, it was priced to see himself and Mikey Butler following each other around the pitch. But at the same time, there's little flashes of stuff there that I like from this guy. And we're talking about him, and I know there's expectation, he's a 19-year-old. But there was a lovely little cameo, and I don't know whether we're talking about that later, but himself and Ravenhill interacted lovely. In the second half, you know, a brilliant little sideline out of him. And he took the 1-2 back, sold the dummy, cut back onto his left, and just slung over a beautiful point. And I think the whole crowd in Nolan Park just appreciated, you know, what a good score it was. But all in all, Offaly are in serious good health, lads. I have to say, yeah, okay, they fell away and a few mistakes in the second half, but it was trying to do the right thing. And I think they'll persist. The only worry, I suppose, was I think Killian Kiley did come off. No, what's his name? Centre back.
It was Kiley went off. Yeah,
Kiley. Sorry, yeah. Kiley. He took himself and John Donnelly collided, lads. Oh my God. I'll tell you this much, I wouldn't like to have been anywhere in between it. It was some hit between the two of them, and a good honest hit. But Jesus, it was a good physical game. But I'd say Johnny Kelly has them in a good place now. And I would just look at the quality games they're getting in the champion, this league, lads. That should have them in a very, very, very strong position going into that McDonagh campaign.
They are. They're really building something. Like, you can even the last day down at Wexford, like, maybe I was going a bit overboard, but they're after backing it up now with that performance up in Kilkenny. And look, before a ball was even thrown in this league campaign, everyone was suggesting that Offaly were going to be cannon fodder for an awful lot of teams, particularly in the division that they're in. But that just isn't the case at all. I mean, they really, really are building something. And as Eddie touched on, they've some really, really exciting players. Another lad to be touched on, Charlie Mitchell. I really, really like him. He's a really, really top player. When you have the likes of him, Dan Ravenhill, Screeny, where did they play Killian Sampson yesterday, Eddie? Did they play him wing back or did they play him wing forward again?
Yeah, he played wing back, and he lobbed over the first points. I think he may have even, there was a second, I think that was Killian Kiley. Their puckouts, after puckouts, lads, their restarts were really good. Like, they were able to open up massive pockets of space. Even at one stage, they basically had the whole middle of the whole 3 and 6 and their backs were opened up. Like, and Sampson threw over a lovely point, but you just touch on there and just mark him even. Charlie Mitchell impressed me there. Like, I mean, I think he got the goal as well. Two lovely points in the first half. And there was just little flashes from all the guys. And look, in the middle of it all, then, Jesus, big unit and all that. He was quietish in the first half, but Jesus, Brian Dignan is a handful too. Big physical presence around there. And he's game. Like, he went in the depths of the second half, Jesus, what I loved about him was, and look, again, we're not going to be just, we're not running down Kilkenny in any way here, but they were game right to the end. There was no throwing in the towel. They used their bench well. So they have a nice crew there. I think it was Oisin Kelly was who I was referring to, came off the bench. Was it Oisin Kelly got a bit of game?
Yeah, his first game back since he did the crucial the second time at this stage last year.
Yeah.
So he's just getting back. He's a huge player, lads. He's
massive
player.
Adrian
Mullen, like, I mean, Jesus, he's a class apart. And that's what will probably concern Derek. You know, he'll have wanted to see other players. And still, you know, he's the go-to. John Donnelly is just a massive work rate. And, you know, a few, you know, just stuff that he'd be disappointed with. Like, he'll want more from it. And, you know, for a young emerging Offaly team, and again, I don't mean this in disrespect to anyone, like, they were able to come down there and really throw it down to Kilkenny and Nolan Park. And that's the aspect of it, I suppose, is that Derek would have wanted, is that, you know, on your home patch, that doesn't happen.
Man, I'll just, obviously, the two other results in 1A, Galway had a pretty comprehensive win up in Corrigan Park against Antrim, and it was tight enough at different stages, but Tipperary won handsomely enough against Westmead. We'll just go to your moment of the weekend, lads. I'll kick it off myself. My moment of the weekend wasn't even on the pitch. I was so enthused to hear the way Jarlett Burns was speaking about growing hurling from a fella that doesn't come from a hurling background, and he said hurling's not in his blood, but it's in his heart, and he's basically... He started, I know there's enough committees knocking around the GA, but he's getting a lot of good heads together, and I think he's putting his energy in the right area. He wants to grow more clubs, and that's how hurling will grow. Not necessarily going into counties and, you know, getting onto development squads and stuff like that. Get more people playing, and that's the start of it. So I was really, really enthused by that. And I know there's a lot of red tape at different stages to get through, to get stuff done, particularly in his 3 years. But I was very, very enthused by what maybe he might do for hurling over the next 3 years. John, I know your moment was on the pitch. What was your moment of the weekend?
Yeah, well, look, I suppose from a Waterford point of view, I was delighted to see Jamie Barron back to himself. But that probably would have been from a Waterford point of view. But from my moment of the weekend was the placement of Carl O'Neill, centre-back. You know, he scored 4 points against Dublin, and it's just the way, you know, Kiley Kinnard to be thinking. Are they thinking, do they have something different down the line, you know, in regards that, you know, if Declan Hannan doesn't get back on the field, and we don't know what's going to play out with Kyle Hayes, could we see a different dynamic to Limerick in that half back line with possibly Paul O'Neill being in around number 6? And I just thought it was very, very interesting. Took me by surprise to see him there, but he looked really at home there. Probably from a defending point of view, he'd probably have a bit of improving to do, but from an attacking point of view, it's just going to be another thing they're going to have going forward in their armour that I think they can hurt teams with. And if they have to change up the dynamics of their team midstream or mid-game, you know, they can probably place him back there and probably come up with some big scores.
Great sign of a team. They're going for 5 in a row. And the man that started the All-Ireland semi-final and final centre-back hasn't started a game centre-back yet. David Reedy has started 2 games centre-back, and O'Neill has started centre-back now. So they're definitely keeping people guessing. Eddie, yours, you've a bit of an awfully love-in, I think, after yesterday. What was your moment of the weekend?
It's everyone in Kilkenny be starting to wonder here. But no, look, I mean, we spoke about it, and we're talking about there, you referenced it, building hurling. We need as many teams as we can at the top table, and Offaly are equal as important as any team in that. And it's brilliant to see them where they are, because the Leinster Championship, and I'm obviously biased there, but if we're going to go competing with the boys down Munster, you need strong teams, and Offaly are moving in the right direction. They're not the finished article, but just little flashes. And again, I suppose this time of the year, we talk about the appeal of hurling. What do you want? The nice top of the ground hurling, especially Muller's there. Fastball in, and I just think we saw a few little glimpses yesterday. He had a quiet day, but Screeny, just there was one little cameo in the first half. Brilliant run from deep in the square all the way out to just the 10 position, controlled the ball lovely on the sideline, and then just jinxed inside a little hand pass off, laid it off to Dan Ravenhill, and he kind of dummied one way, cut back in, and just you know, a real Adrian Mullen-esque point. Adrian Mullen got something similar from his side over the shoulder in the second half in the same position. But just a beautiful little combo. And you can see this is what Offaly are trying to do. They found him in the second half screening with this. And I would imagine, look, Mikey Butler is no slouch when it comes to pace. And by God, he was, you know, trying to stay with Screeny. So I can imagine what this fella will be like. And again, we're looking at a couple of years down the line. And like I said earlier, there was a lovely little cameo of him on the sideline. So he is the real deal in my view. And he's going to be an important player. And you don't want to heap too much pressure on a young lad like that. Not a bother on this fella. I think he's going to be a real, real good talent. But equally, himself and Ravenhill as a duo are good. They're good. And it was just from a hurling, complete hurling perspective, it was a positive thing to see that yesterday and admire that.
The younger brother is supposed to be very good as well, Michael, is he? The Screeny's younger brother.
His older brother Jack is involved as well. I don't know too much about the younger
brother. I heard that as well. The young lad, they're raving about him.
He's fair boots to fill already, I can tell you that. The best thing I tell you, lads, about Adam Screeny is, and he's all the touches and all that, he's a devil for work. He loves working. He loves tracking back. He loves hooking and blocking. And that is, there's a mentality. Remember chatting Johnny Pilkington, who was a selector with the 20s, and he just said, the mentality amongst that crew is just a bit different. And the way they fight without the ball is hugely encouraging. Yeah. So, Eddie, you've definitely perked me up on a Monday morning. I can tell you that anyway. We're coming.
Set the trap, Mikey.
It'll take a bit of time now. I'd be a bit more realistic. I think it's going to take 3 or 4 years before we're very competitive. Yeah. But great stuff, lads. John and Eddie, thanks for joining me. And we'll be back in 2 weeks' time with another show. But in the meantime, don't forget to rate, review, and follow us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks a million for listening, and goodbye.